Hello, and welcome to what is going to be hopefully the first of many podcasts from the Chapman Group and Loyalty Professional. I want to introduce myself. I'm Denny, probably better known as your Sherpa, your guide, the person who's going to be with you through all these podcasts and driving the conversation and keeping you informed on what's going on in the worlds of sales effectiveness and customer experience management. And my partner for most of these sitting across the table from me here is Dennis Chapman Sr., President and CEO of the Chapman Group, who probably has more sales and account management experience than I have years on the earth. So with that said, I think he's a very, very good expert in what it is that we're here to talk about. He is on the board of directors of SAMA, the Strategic Account Management Association, and speaks to tens of 20s of sales teams and thousands of reps and executives on a yearly basis around the world. So I'd like to welcome Dennis.
Thanks, Denny. It's my pleasure to share my experiences and what other people have taught me or what I'm observing on this planet that's going through some rapid changes in many ways, including that around business.
And I think what comes out in and what you'll hear from Dennis is something that he usually calls golden nuggets, and not in the terms of mining in the West, but that when people speak or listen to him or attend workshops or webinars, that they're always able to take out tangible, actionable golden nuggets of business advice that they can take back to their organization and put into practice and play. And people pay a lot of money to get such things from Dennis. And we thought it would be very valuable for the audience out there if we brought some of these golden nuggets to you on a more regular basis and a more direct basis through these podcasts. So hopefully over the next 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and the next however long we're with you, are able to take something that Dennis has from his great big bucket of expertise and put into your business practice. A little bit of what we're going to talk about today, just so you know, we want to give you an overview of what it is that we're talking about when we talk about the customer experience and strategic account management. I think it's important that as we speak here, you know the buzzwords and what it is that we mean and are talking about. We talk about measurements and metrics and experience and process and methodology. I also want to get into a little bit about discussions that Dennis had with some of the business leaders that he's been talking with over the last couple of weeks. He's been traveling around the world, over in Europe, throughout the United States, and he's gotten a lot of different perspectives on what it is that people are seeing in the business environment and what it is they're looking to do and where they're looking for solutions and have seen the most value. And then have a little discussion on some of Dennis's recent blogging posts and other thoughts that he has on some pertinent issues that are going on today. So without further ado or wasting your time in this sort of table of contents spiel, Dennis, if you could, when we talk about the customer experience and managing and measuring what a customer experience is or an account experience is, could you please share what we're talking about?
Yeah, I think it's a very apropos and interesting topic du jour, and this is why, as you said, I've been on the planet quite a while and had a lot of experiences, and a focus on customers is probably not a new thing. I mean, I could probably go back to the 70s or 80s and say most businesses always would speak to the importance of their customers. I mean, obviously without customers, you seldom have a very effective business. However, in today's, as you mentioned, in my travels today, there's a whole new definition or redefinition of this thing called customer centricity and or customer experience. It's dramatically different. When we used to think about being customer focused, it really meant listening to the customer and delivering what the customer needed to the best of what you could do. Today, customer centricity has a whole new meaning. And I would say that the biggest operative word in that new meeting is the word engagement, mutual engagement. We never thought years ago that customer centricity meant that the customer would be actively engaged in the partnership with their supplier. Today, it's a requirement. They literally want to be engaged, and they're actually starting to use with their suppliers this word partnership, which means that customer centricity, it means that the supplier and the partner, the buyer in some terms, are working together, moving the relationship forward, all the way to the point where there's a very important emergence of this whole thing around customer experience management. And that was not a term that was readily used years ago. Customer experience management, the acronym that you'll see showing up a lot of places, CEM, is this process around how do we create these extraordinary customer experiences? And on top of that, how do we measure or get validation or feedback from our customer if we're really creating these extraordinary customer experiences that are actually enabling our customer to be more successful in their business? And so the role of the supplier in this whole thing around customer centricity has changed. It's not just to deliver the goods or services that they're being paid from a customer to deliver, but they're actually now being expected to play a role in the success of a customer's business. An example of that is I was on my travels recently in the chemical industry. I was meeting with a customer, and they actually were, because they were cash rich or had access to cash, they were actually helping their customer fund some expansion of their business through using their own products and or services. And that was never heard of before. And now them and their customer have formed this partnership that goes way beyond just the delivery of a product and service. So I guess as a summary on that one point, I would offer people to think about, you know, what is customer centricity and how do they define it? And key in on the fact that customer centricity now means that the customer and the supplier are in some cases intimately involved in the relationship together moving forward in their success model.
And I kind of want to stay on what it is that you're talking about here, because I think there's some goodness to get out of this. I also work with some of the customers and clients of the Chapman Group and at Loyalty Professional. And I do have to say that in talking to them and then looking around, that what's really happening today is that the idea that the customer's always right has sort of taken on a new meaning. And I say that because they now, free flow of information has really given them the ability to seek out suppliers that they were never able to seek out 30 or 40 years ago. And by doing so, their pool of choices of suppliers to work with is exponentially increased. And almost proportionally to that are the requirements that they are asking of each one of those suppliers. And when that pool is so much bigger, if there's one not willing to do those things, they can very easily go find someone else that will fulfill and satisfy the necessary requirements they're looking for in a partner or a vendor or a supplier. And what that's doing is to build on what you're talking about there, is putting the experience of the customer really back into the center of the process and strategic development of the organization. New emphasis and realization that what customers perceive to be reality is what organizations now need to be working with. What is important now, and what I'd like to get some of your feedback on, is when it comes to a customer experience and measuring and understanding and trying to figure out what customers see as a great experience or how you're differentiated or what they value, how would an organization go about measuring?
Well, there's a point of clarification. For a very basic explanation, the internet is opened up a lot of worlds to buyers, and has influenced them to think that they have significant options as it comes to suppliers. What a lot of buyers are starting to key in on is that there are some intrinsic values to and differentiations between suppliers. Unfortunately, a lot of customers have to do a lot of work on their end to understand what's making one supplier different than the other, or how they're impacting their business different than another potential supplier. Now, back to your question of, you know, how do we measure really the root of this whole differentiation is, how do I have sufficient feedback from my customers? How do I measure the relationship so that, in fact, I can communicate to my customer how I am impacting their business, or how, or what I could additionally do to impact their business? And there are a couple emerging strategies that are coming about from customer feedback. A couple things that we've discovered in some of, and Denny, as you mentioned, in the work we've done around this whole measuring customer loyalty, which I sometimes call a high degree of customer satisfaction, but it's feedback on the relationship. A couple things we've really learned here, that differentiation, some of the core differentiations that customers are appreciating is ease of doing business, for example. We used to understand what ease of doing business, or thought that that was important. Now we have validation. That's very, very critical. An example of that is, again, three core strategies that a lot of suppliers have been told by their customers are important is operational excellence. So one way to differentiate yourself as a supplier is operational excellence, and then get the validation, the feedback from the customer that you are actually providing operational excellence, because operational excellence potentially makes it easier for them to do business with you. The other is customer intimacy. And what we mean by that is that you're getting feedback from your customer and actually from your own internal resources, that you're effectively going high, wide, and deep in your customer, so that you have a very effective appreciation of their needs, as well as how they either view you or what the long-term relationship might look like. So operational excellence, customer intimacy, and then the third way to differentiate, which is this and when you differentiate, you actually sort of skinny down the playing field, that there aren't as many options as they might be thinking in the internet. The third way is the value proposition. And that is that as a supplier, you're really economically impacting the supplier. So all of a sudden, from a customer standpoint, where they thought they had all of these different options out there of different suppliers, when they really drill down and evaluate a specific supplier, they find out that only one, maybe two suppliers are effectively providing them the differentiation they're seeking.
And that's all good and great and good insight into how suppliers are approaching their customers and how to differentiate. But what I want to get at is, what are suppliers and people doing to measure the customer experience? Their customers have perceptions about them, and they need to optimize their business processes based upon those customers' perceptions. Now that they've been chosen and they've differentiated themselves and become a partner, they need to now optimize based on the perception of their customers on what the experience is.
Well, you know, and I guess I gave you a little longer story. So let me specifically say what they're doing. What they're doing now is realizing that they need to engage their customer in a much more in-depth scorecarding exercise. And a scorecarding exercise is more of a feedback exercise. So where it used to be, maybe I'll ask one question, or, you know, would you ever recommend this, or are you satisfied? I now need to have a real in-depth relationship. Suppliers are engaging their customer. By the way, customers are appreciating this in many cases. This was an interesting breakthrough.
That can be a differentiator in and of itself.
Absolutely. I mean, the fact, I actually heard a customer actually said that the fact that their supplier was taking the initiative to ask them for such detailed feedback to themselves was a differentiation.
And I think you actually put something on your blog about that. Go through www.chapmanhq.com to get the Dennis's blog about engaging customers in the process. In the beginning, just asking them to be in this process has significant monumental effect on the relationship that they feel involved right from the get-go.
Right. And so once you begin that more in-depth measuring, and by the way, I've heard from some companies say, well, our customer won't participate. Well, let me tell you why. We learn why they don't participate sometimes, because it's not an integral part of the process, the relationship management process. So the fact is that if you introduce that, and when you introduce it as an integral part of the relationship process, customers will give you a scorecard of how well you're impacting their business. And then you can take that information. This is where everything is going, that you can now really create strategic initiatives at both the corporate level, the account level, the customer level, to really create these extraordinary experiences. And the customer, by them participating in this, and we sometimes call that closing the loop, bringing that information back to the customer and saying, this is what your team has said about our relationship, and this is what we're doing about it. And making that an integral part of a scorecard, what a powerful way to enable both the customer and supplier to reach a higher degree of partnership. That's what we're seeing. And there's this acceptance that it's hard work. It's not as easy as just having a meeting. I need facts, figures, information, measurements. And by the way, I need to track this and trend it over time. Then I need to actually correlate it. Is it impacting my business? When you do that as a customer, does this really impact my business? And what we're finding is quite often it does.
So if I hear you correctly, what I think you're saying is suppliers need to take this idea of closing the loop with their customers into the strategic planning process up front, where they're implementing surveys, questionnaires, scorecards, whatever you want to call them, not for the idea that they're just going to get a pat on the back or a 95% satisfaction score to market with, that the feedback they're going to get is actually going to facilitate the discussions and the strategic planning process throughout the year that they're going to have with that customer. In other words, Dennis, you told me that product A is performing under your expectations. So before our next meeting, I take that feedback, put together some actions, and to come into the meeting and say, Dennis, I heard you say that our product's not performing to your expectations, and here's what we're going to do to work with you in order to make this better.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you a real-life example. As a business practice, towards the end of every calendar year, I like to get out there and meet every one of our accounts as much as possible, just to spend some time with them. And I recently, because of just time, I ended up doing a couple of those meetings in January versus December. And on a recent road trip, a lot of people are used to road trips, so I did one. I met with two of our customers and two of our potential customers. And we drink our own Kool-Aid, which means we actually do surveys of our customers, loyalty surveys to find out and close the loop. And in the two discussions I had with our existing customers, I talked about what they've said about our relationship and how what we needed to do. And they were that was closing the loop. I was sharing the information with them about in 2011, how the Chapman Group and them could work more effectively together to help them increase revenue. It was interesting as I listened to your conversation, I had two prospect meetings. And in each one of those, I talked about exactly what you said, is that we, you know, understand that in our relationship, what we expect from you is to give us a periodic scorecard every quarter or every 6 months so that we can, just like this, our account manager and our client services team can come in and meet with you and say, this is what we need to do to improve the relationship. Now, when I take that to our customers or our clients who are using our loyalty professional services, we're now teaching them to do the same thing with their customers, which is to engage right up front, as you said, the importance of this knowledge share of what their team is thinking, what we're doing, so that we're really creating this joint strategy based on our challenges and our products, our services. So all of a sudden, the customer of the supplier has this extraordinary resource at their fingertips they never had before. They had a very smart resource who could come in and said, hey, have you ever thought about it? Forget my products and services, but from what your customer is saying, have you ever thought about doing this because it could help your business? And both parties become much smarter there.
That's a pretty simple process. I don't want to diminish it too much, but to think that customers are the, and I'm going to do air quotes that nobody can see in the air, you know, the most valuable resource of a company, and that you would solicit their feedback and then just let it sit in a database somewhere and collect whatever databases collect, dust or whatever it is, and not take it back to them in any way, shape, or form.
Well, it's
like 20, they're going to, and in our experience, you know, sometimes you're talking 10 minutes, some spend 60 minutes trying to tell a supplier what it is they want to have happen over the next 12 months. And all the supplier really needs to do to make sure something happens is take 5 minutes of their time to call back that customer and say, hey, I heard what you were saying. Here's what we're going to do. Let's meet next week. There's nothing but benefits and win-win for everybody that are involved in such a process. And it's something that if anybody's listening out there now has any kind of information from your customer, you can do regularly right now. Take it, call them, say you heard them. Well, this is what we're going to do. And I bet you that you will see a ripple effect in that relationship the rest of the year.
The unfortunate piece of probably the world we live in today is we live in what I would call a very noisy world. A very noisy world is probably my word for a very busy world. I was recently with a very senior business executive in the farm industry, and we were talking about all the right things that needed to be done to build their customers. And after I kept adding my two cents in the conversation, he finally looked at me and said, it appears I'm too busy to do all the right things. And that's an exact depiction of what's happening in today's world. There's a lot of companies who for years have been doing, I'll call them customer satisfaction surveys, getting the data, and literally it's sitting somewhere on a shelf. And it was like a check mark that they did the right thing. They asked their customer for feedback because they knew that was the right thing to do. They got the feedback, and it sat on a shelf, and they'll do the same thing next year. We're in a different world now, and the different world is if you ask me for feedback, I expect you to do something with it. It should be an integral part of the relationship management process.
You know, even informal surveys, I think, because people are very used to communicating texts, emails, et cetera, online, message boards, Facebook, however you want to put it, that when I give you my opinion or my feedback, even through something like an online survey or anything like that, that's still a communication tool that is today pretty much taken as expecting a response to.
Well, and I,
or at least in my opinion, I would think so.
Well, I still get a chuckle when I get calls from suppliers who want to meet with me and they say something like, I really only need a few minutes of your time. Well, the way I think that if somebody's really going to be a strategic supplier for me, and I only want strategic suppliers. And what I'm seeing in my customers is their customers really only want strategic suppliers in some worlds. In some worlds, by the way, I'm not saying that there's not a place for, I hate to use the word commodity suppliers, but there is a potential.
But they fall into the same buckets as customers do. You have, if you related to some of your previous writings, clients, customers, and buyers, right, where you divide your account, segmenting them, your suppliers can be segmented as such. And speaking now, we're really speaking specifically to strategic suppliers, being that they're the ones that provide the most value to an organization.
Yeah, and I would argue that that's where most of our clients and any client should strive to be as a strategic supplier, even if they're offering a commodity item.
They're the ones that are getting 70% of wallet, 80% of spend from those types of customers. So if you're going to maximize what you have in terms of your customers and value in dollar signs or euro signs, that's what you want to do.
So back to my point, which is that if you ask me for feedback, I think most customers today are saying, okay, I'll give you feedback, but you got to come and show me what you're doing with it. You got to show me how you're going to impact my business and that it's not going to end up with mothballs or sitting on a shelf somewhere, that this is really a partnership. And by the way, that this might mean that your senior leaders are engaged in this process, but if you're telling me this is something you're going to do, which by the way, I think it's a great thing. So now I'm speaking as a customer of a strategic supplier. It's a great thing because now you're going to tell me I got this new resource to help me succeed. I think that's extraordinary. However, you now got to deliver on that. So you got to have the right kinds of survey tools, the right kind of loyalty assessments, the right kind of team in place. You got to put all those practices in play now. And you do that, you're going to earn. And we just saw an interesting study that people that do this, that create more loyal customers, gain significantly larger wallet shares from their customers, which we mean, dollar shares or euro shares of their portfolio.
Even as I go through the newspaper, and I think this really kind of link it to some of the stuff that's going on, and you read business headlines and what Dennis is saying, productivity level of the worker out there has going up, and it's demanded that it goes up, and headcounts are going down, and they're asking people to do more with what they think would be less in so many ways, but you need to optimize those pieces of information and intelligence and data that you have available to you. The organizations are demanding as such on their workers as they're putting the productivity level up, and they're decreasing some of their headcount, and nothing is more valuable to increase productivity in the world of sales or account management than the feedback that your customer is giving you.
Well, you're actually keying into what, because I've heard this, I had an international call with a group of business professionals from China, in fact, Thursday night, late night, because obviously their time difference was different than ours. How do you really, the next blog I'm going to be posting is, you know, how do you become successful or more effective in strategic account management or sales in a very noisy world? And it's not easy. You got to do more with less, and you got all these distractions and challenges that go on. So I'm actually going to be blogging to that topic later this week. So it's a key topic.
Everybody can check that out. Get to www.chapmanhq.com to get to Dennis's blog. And then hopefully next time we get together, we'll have something to talk about around some of those points that you've posted out there. And if anybody out there has any questions or thoughts or things that they might want to ask Dennis or myself, please feel free to send them in info@loyaltypro.com, info@loyaltypro.com, or you can visit us at www.loyaltypro.com. It'll be very easy to get a hold of us there. I want to say thank you to everybody who has listened to this as far along as they have. It's the first go round. I think there's some good tangible golden nuggets, as we would like to say, for people to take out and practice. First one being, go get in touch with your customers. Let them know that you're hearing them. It'll prove to be very valuable. Is there anything you'd like to say as you depart?
I'm going to leave that one last nugget. And my last nugget is, for years we've all heard that little cliche that knowledge is power. I'd like to shift that phrase a little bit to say that knowledge equals influence. And a lot of people have read about that, have heard about that for years. But I think now mutual knowledge share between customer and supplier is going to be which really elevates businesses in this very challenging global economy. So this whole escalation of the mutual knowledge share between customer and supplier is be thinking about how you as an organization can foster an environment, a process or program to have that. And that will be one, not the only, but certainly one of the pillars for success moving forward.
And that is going to conclude the first podcast. It is the 28th of February. You don't get 30 or 31 selling days. So close anything that's outstanding before 5 o'clock Eastern, Central, Pacific, or whatever time zone you are in. And Dennis and I will be back in touch with you soon.